those, and then public comment will be after 1:30. And before we start on item 16, council has some remarks.
Yes, and just normally we do board member reports on the first day of the meeting, because we're on the second day of the meeting, and perhaps not all the parties that were here today were here yesterday. I would just suggest that if there are any board members who want to disclose any sort of communications or other information pertaining to this item, that this would be an appropriate time to put that on the record.
Thank you. I will start with my right.
Yes, parties.
Yeah.
So I met with Perry and Abby and Kara, they got it right, on Wednesday. They came to my office and we spent about 20 minutes or so. And they were simply going over the mapping that they had done, the data collection, and we had kind of a very general discussion. What their concerns were, and the hope that the board would approve the disclosure mechanism that they currently have offered up.
Thank you. Is Councilor?
I met with Terry Gaffney, the Kara, on January 1st, Wednesday, for 1.5 hours. And we reviewed basically the same thing. Mr. Young did with the background, groundwater monitoring activities, characterization efforts, nitrate contour mapping, and then future plans. We had discussion and discussion after that.
Thank you, Hunter. I met on Wednesday with Gary, with Abby, with Claire, and Carol on the this item 16, as it related to the contour map.
I just wanted to fully disclose that I do rent space from CRLA. They are my landlord. However, I have never spoken with anyone from CRLA regarding the substantive issues before the board today or the ag order generally. So I don't believe that my contractual agreement to rent space has impaired my ability to remain impartial or unbiased.
Mr. Johnson? Yes, I was approached last week by the Groundwater Coalition to meet and discuss this item. I declined because my schedule did not allow it. I was neither approached by or discussed this with anybody else. Mr. Delgado? No? Thank you. So we will now proceed with this item in staff. Will give us their
Mr. Chair, yes, I have a statement to read first to introduce the item.
Please introduce the item. Thank you.
Item 16 is a discussion item for the board regarding the manner in which the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition groundwater testing results were disclosed to the public. A little background before we begin. In March 2012, this board adopted Agricultural Order R3-2012-0011. The State Board modified the order on September 24, 2013 in response to petitions. Subsequently, I issued a work plan approval letter on July 11, 2013 to the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition approving their cooperative groundwater monitoring program. The letter provided details regarding how the CCGC would provide data to the regional board and how information would be made available to the public. On July 3rd, 2014, the California Rural Legal Assistance submitted a request for discretionary review by the board on two related issues. One, CCGC's notification process for wells that have exceeded the nitrate drinking water standard. And two, the manner in which CCGC groundwater testing results will be disclosed to the public. At the the November 4 meeting, we concluded a discretionary review of item one, and I sent a letter memorializing the outcome of that board meeting on December 8, 2014. In this item 16, we will hear information concerning discretionary review of item number two. The discussion today is intended to be focused on whether or not the process to develop and submit contour maps by CCGC as established in the work plan approval letter was appropriate. This is the only issue before the board today. Importantly, since the work plan approval letter was issued, CCGC has submitted data and contour maps. Staff have reviewed those maps and described for us the steps they intend to take. The steps they intend to take are applicable or application of the work plan approval letter. The information they give us today is not part of the discretionary review, but because it is in effect the sequel to the story, it may be helpful to have that information as background concerning the initial process adopted in the work plan approval letter. To the extent the board has feedback on these steps staff are currently taking, that is important and helpful to staff. But I reiterate that these actions by staff are not part of the discretionary review of the board. The sole issue before the board is whether or not the process to develop and submit contour maps, as described in the work plan approval letter, was appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. So if Kim has a staff to this presentation.
Thank you, Chairman Wolf. Good morning, members of the board. My name is Angela Schroeder. I am a senior engineering geologist at the Southern Coast Water Board. I manage the groundwater monitoring program aspects of the area land regulatory program in coordination with those who you'll hear from later on today. I'm here with John Robertson, my section manager, as well as Steve Sides, my engineering and environmental scientist, who provides statistical expertise relative to the issues, Mike Kapolsky, who is companion, Kristen, and works on MDL, and also provides statistical support for the 303 listing policy. So, as Mr. Harris mentioned, the purpose of item 16 is to respond to CRLA's July 3rd, 2014 request for discretionary review of the Coalition's Groundwater Monitoring Program. Specifically, part two of the request, which is the manner in which groundwater testing results are disclosed to the public. In their discretionary review request, CRLA indicates that they object to the use of contour maps. They are requesting that the water board use individual wells to be displayed on GeoTracker. And they make the statement that the public has a right to readily accessible information about the drinking water, and contour mapping checks as a supplement and not as a substitute to the well information. And I'll talk a little bit more about GeoTracker and what that is and how we display information. So as Mr. Harris mentioned, the question before the board is the process for reviewing and approving the Coalition's contour maps appropriate, as established in the work plan approval letter issued by the executive officer in July 2013. So Ken mentioned a little background, and I want to provide a little more detail about how we got to this point. In March 2012, when the Central Coast Water Board adopted the agricultural order, the cooperative groundwater program did not yet exist. And the requirements for individual growers and co-ops were nearly identical. There's one specific condition in the agricultural order that spoke to how dischargers would submit data to the water board, and that's condition 63. Condition 63 states, groundwater quality data must be submitted in a format compatible with the electronic deliverable format used by the State Water Board's GeoTracker data management system. So just a little bit of background. The GeoTracker data management system is the system that all the water boards, the state boards and the regional boards, use to manage groundwater monitoring data for our groundwater regulatory program. That data is uploaded directly to GeoTracker and is displayed in an online system. And this So in the development of the order, staff had anticipated that this data from the area member program will be uploaded to GTA Tracker consistent with the other programs. At the time, this condition 63 applied to individuals, rowers, and those who would participate in walk and monitoring programs similarly. So this is speaking to the submittals of the data. Then in July of 2013, the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition submitted a proposed work plan for implementing a cooperative groundwater monitoring program. In this proposed work plan, the coalition conveyed concerns about disclosing data to the public. They stated any data loaded to GeoTracker would remain on the regulatory-only side of GeoTracker for the duration of the existing waiver and any extensions of that waiver. So this is sort of the first formal written statement from the coalition expressing concerns about disclosing data and proposing that the data loaded to GeoTracker will only remain on the regulatory side. So GeoTracker has two sides to its system, the regulatory side and the public side. Regulatory side is what we can see in the water board, and the public side is what's disclosed. Instead, the coalition proposed the use of contrabounds. And this would be in lieu of displaying actual groundwater data for individual wells. So, back to what the water board, the executive officer, after staff review of the work plan, we wanted to help support the development of the cooperative groundwater monitoring program. And so the executive officer approved the work plan, but with specific conditions. The work plan approval letter allowed the coalition to use contour maps to display nitrate concentrations to the public in lieu of displaying individual well data if the contour maps met specific criteria and were approved by the executive officer. So realizing that what we were trading off was individual well data to be displayed to the public in exchange for contour maps, we inserted specific criteria to ensure that the public would have access to reliable data. The executive officer did not agree that data would only remain on the very first time GeoTracker is not available to the public. So we asked the coalition to strike that language there where it says any data loaded would remain on the very first time GeoTracker. So after the submittal, the coalition submitted the work plan and the executive officer approved it. The coalition was really at that time was just beginning. They were still in the process of formalizing their nonprofit status and governance. They did not yet have established program boundaries. There was not a known membership. There were not known groundwater sampling locations. So at that time, we had the criteria, and the work plan approval letter for contour maps, but it was not known if the contour maps could meet the criteria. In September 2013, as Mr. Harris mentioned, the state board modified the order to clarify the groundwater monitoring requirements. So they emphasized the importance of drinking water safety in nitrate groundwater. An example of one of the modifications was requiring cooperative monitoring programs to sample all drinking water wells. And they also provided for a specific opportunity for discretionary review due to the significant public interest and value of the groundwater monitoring data to be collected by the cooperatives. And this opportunity for discretionary review is what CRLA is exercising and what we're hearing today. So relative to this issue of public display of coalition nitrate well data, I think it's important to remember these three considerations. The water board has access to all the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition groundwater quality data in GeoTracker, similar to the individual data from the growers who do not participate in the coalition. So this is not an issue about what the water board or staff has access to. This is an issue about how data is displayed to the public. CRLA wants to maximize transparency and the public's access to information. I believe this is important because this issue relates to unsafe drinking water, including the actual nitrate data for individual wells. In contrast, coalition members desire anonymity. To alleviate security and privacy concerns, they have indicated that these concerns are especially related to individual law entry levels. So really, this is about two different perspectives in terms of what data should be displayed to the public. Again, one stakeholder wants transparency, and another stakeholder wants anonymity. But at the end of the day, the water board gets to see all the data and process the data. So the question for the board again is the process for reviewing and approving the coalition content maps appropriate as established in the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition Board for Approval letter issued by the executive officer? If not, I will go over content map criteria. This is also in your staff report, I believe it's table two. This is a summary of that table. I'm not going to go through all the criteria here, just a few examples. So again, this is criteria captured in the work approval letter. It's condition 10 through 13. It includes items, for example, the content maps must use sufficient sampling density to provide reliable information. It must use a sampling design that is reasonably sensible. It must characterize groundwater nitrate concentrations at specific depths, focusing on groundwater. And also must have a confidence level or certainty that's sufficient for providing reliable information to the public. These are standard factors that professionals use to evaluate content maps. Staff develop these criteria based upon similar work where we use content maps in other programs. We also consulted various references such as the USEPA technical guide, content mapping, as well as more detailed studies from the U.S. Geological Survey. This issue is somewhat different than how we treat content maps in other programs because in general, content maps always come with the actual data. So it's important to remember that in this case, what the coalition is requesting is that the content maps are submitted and displayed in lieu of the actual data. So this slide shows the process to review and approve the content maps as described in the work plan approval letter. So the first part here on the left is where the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition establishes the program. So they're conducting an initial sampling analysis. They establish the program, they identify sampling points, they evaluate well density, and then they prioritize their wells. And the process. They conduct a sampling and the lab analyses and then report that data to the water board using GeoTracker. They evaluate the results, conduct a statistical analysis to determine confidence levels, identify gaps, and then determine if additional sampling is necessary to fill those gaps. Once they've done that, they then develop the content maps. And the way they develop the content maps should be relative to what is required for their work plan that they submitted, the conditions specified in the work plan approval letter, and then they substantiate their method of finding in the technical memorandum, which includes the contour maps. The water board then reviews the technical memorandum along with the underlying water quality data and the contour maps themselves. So then the water board and the staff determines whether or not the contour map is acceptable. And the way they do that is, does it meet the description of the methods described in the CCGC work plan? Does it meet the conditions 10 through 13 of the work plan approval letter? And finally, does it provide reliable information to the public in lieu of the actual data? If the staff and executive officer can answer yes to these questions, then the content map is displayed on GeoTracker Gamma. I should have mentioned previously that GeoTracker Gamma is called GeoTracker Gamma because the groundwater can be on a separate program and the water board also uses it. And there's some specialized tools in there for Gamma. So the content map would be displayed on GeoTracker Gamma if it were approved. no individual well data would be displayed to the public for the coalition. So recall that on the agenda right now, individual wells are already displayed. So this is about the coalition's data. And that the data for the coalition, in this case, Central Coast Hour Coalition, would only be available to the public through a public record after provided. That's the way that they get the underlying data. If the executive officer does not approve the content map, then the coalition data is posted across the UGA for PAMA to the public, just like the individual well water quality data. This makes the need for public records after request actually unnecessary because they can, the public can download data using GeoTracker online. So then the question for the board is, reviewing that process, is it appropriate for approving the content map as established in the coalition's work plan letter? Staff have, in response to CRLA's discretionary review, staff have reevaluated the process for reviewing and approving the content map and find that it is appropriate. Staff recommends that the executive officer then uphold the work plan approval letter, not make any changes to the process for reviewing and approving the content map. If the board agrees with staff's conclusion that the process is appropriate, then the executive officer will send a letter to all interested parties that memorializes the conclusion of the discretionary review and what we will implement the next steps. So I will also provide additional information about the status of the content map and next steps, but want to remind the board that this is not part of the discretionary review. So staff have evaluated the CCGCP content map of metric concentration for the Salinas Valley and has determined that the content maps are not sufficient for providing reliable information to the public. We recommend that the executive officer follow the process in the work plan approval letter and provide public access to the Central Coalition groundwater data, similar to the display on GeoTracker for individual rovers. With the exception of providing some level of anonymity relative to individual farm information, that's described in the staff report. We believe this prioritizes the public health of safe drinking water, it's consistent with the relevant policies identified in the staff report, and also provides access to critical information to advance solutions to the natural problem. So again, the question for the board is the process for reviewing and approving the Central Coast Water Coalition content map appropriate, as established in the work plan approval letter, and staff's recommendation is that we uphold that work plan approval letter and not make any changes to the process for reviewing and approving the coalition content maps.
Questions?
I'm not sure where to start with the question. Let me give it my best shot. I think the first thing I'm looking at is some of the wording in the slide and wondering if staff were clear with the cooperative sampling group on what your staff's expectations were for the reporting framework. Did you provide them with an example of nitrate contouring that staff had done so they know what the road looks like fully in the product?
So I would say the question to the answer is yes, we did talk about expectations. We did not necessarily provide them with a map. So we recall that when we were talking about the work plan approval conditions, there were no program boundaries yet. So we didn't even know where the areas where the members would be located. So we were speculating at that point what the boundaries of the content map would be. At that time, and I believe it was very clear in the work plan approval letter, in that the sample density, for example, has to be sufficient to provide reliable information to the public. And in our discussion, we, and I think it's evidenced in our coordination, the quarterly coordination with the coalition, we talked about our concerns, staff's concerns about whether or not, for example, they have enough members in a particular area to give them sampling points such that could be contoured. It was just was unknown. I remember it was just unknown. We also talked about the fact that it might not be enough well data in certain areas. And so one of our suggestions when John was there as well as Hector was to create the program boundaries based upon where you have sufficient data to develop contour maps. So we don't get into this problem in the future of not having sampling points or well data. But we didn't necessarily talk about, you know, here's an example of a specific map. The scale was unknown at the time.
There was work that you gave. You gave them the idea, and I think from a BART quality analysis standpoint, what is the confidence level? Did you go over the confidence level? Did you go over the density? I know boundaries were not identified, as you stated, but I think when I'm hearing that there's a lack of clarity from the regional board staff to the coalition as to what really was the expectation. You said you talked about it, you didn't have the map, but in your talking, did you say, for instance, in a township or an intersection, we need for accuracy to meet our standards, this is what we're looking at. And I know USGS Occupancy Survey has some excellent guidelines on what a lean but sufficient density would be for wells. So was there that kind of discussion?
There were a lot of detailed discussions regarding all of the criteria for the contour maps and work plan approval letter, one of which was to identify what the sampling density was so that we could determine whether or not contour maps were approvable. We never got information on their sampling density. It was not presented in the first April 2014 technical memorandum. It was not even, the December one had slightly more information about sampling density, but only for certain wells, not even for the whole area. So I would say we didn't ever get information from the coalition describing the sampling density to be able to describe it. And that being said, it's a clear lack of the criteria because that information wasn't included in the technical memorandum. However, we did talk about confidence levels and other criteria. For example, and some of the board members might recall, in an early 2013 board meeting, we were going back and forth and staff said the confidence level needed was between 90 and 95%, and that was standard per other scientific studies. Steve Schmidt, Technology, was there and made comments about that. And even actually, I have a slide from Abby Taylor Silva presenting an example of 90%. So those were the numbers that we were talking about early on in 2013 and prior to the approval letter.
So we've covered the confidence level issue. Now, so it's well density. Now, I know that's very difficult, having tried that myself when I worked at the Water Resources Agency. And not only that, you might see a well, but can you sample it? And I did review in the documentation that there were some additional wells that could have been sampled, but they didn't get approved from the well owner who were not part of the coalition. Is that correct? We can sample that later. So I read so much information on this and trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together to figure out exactly, when I sift through all this information, what really are the critical points.
If I could, John Robertson, with the regional board staff. We had dialogue about that specific issue, if you cannot get access. And actually, this is a fairly common theme that comes up with a lot of sites, and we always offer our authority to come in and assist getting access. And we did in this case.
And the other thing to remember, and from my perspective, and again, John and Hector and others who are at these meetings, this is an interesting use contrast. And I think it's really important to recall, to remember that in all other cases where the water board uses contrast, the public has the actual data. We have never said you only need to present a contrast, you don't have to present the actual data. So in this case, we were very clear in our presentation that said, if we decide to use contrast and sort of deny the public the ability to see the actual data, that contrast has to be very reliable, and it has to have sufficient sampling density. And we are very clear when we told them that it's possible that there might not be enough wells in some areas to get reliable contrast, and that's the risk we're going to take. And I think Mr. Harrison's letter is very clear about the phased approach and approving the use of contrast without knowing the boundaries of their membership and other aspects. And so I think it was an ill risk that we might not have enough sampling points, because we're talking about the contrast has to be sufficient to exchange using actual data. It's a little different than when you're just presenting a contrast to assist in an interpretation.
So what's your definition of sufficient density to the group? What wording did you use? Was it within a township frame section, subsection? Was it within a township range? Was it a grid? What was the discussion?
The discussion surrounded mostly around confidence intervals. We talked at levels of the 90% and 95%, and then we said, determine the sampling density, bring it back to us, and we will, the executive officer will approve that if it is one of the things.
So you went back to the confidence levels. I thought that we had agreed to that. I'm talking about well density within the geographic area.
Right, it was not known at the time what their well density was, and we didn't have a specification of what it needed to be. What we did was we said, give us your information on your sampling density so we can determine if that is an appropriate level to meet a 90% or 95% growth.
I'm a little confused then. I was thinking that the confidence level had to do with the data itself, not the grid or the density. Can you clarify that?
Well, and I can speak here, that's statistical expert who wants to back into a lot of the statistics, but in general, you need a certain amount of sampling density to get to the 95th or 90th percentile.
So you're referring to the confidence level of the density, not the confidence level of the data, correct?
Well, they're related, right? You need so many data points to produce confidence, because the range from one point to another point, and also the different variability in concentration.
Okay. So, next question. The next question has to do with the density and the confidence level of the density and the lack of confidence and the quality of the wells you're sampling, if they're domestic. Because some of these wells, the integrity could be pretty bad, or some of them because they're old farm wells or farmsteads. So I guess my real question is, if they're being, and this is kind of putting an apple with the orange, but I need clarification on that, is the confidence level for the dam to be really necessary, because the quality of the wells for sampling really are applicable. It's a true test for the quality of the data, not necessarily for the sampling. The quality of the data that you're going to see for the nitrate in the groundwaters, stovepipe wells, of which there are some, and I've seen them. They're 30 feet deep, and they collect all of the surface water from the runoff from the surrounding area. I'm sure that water quality is pretty horrible. Whereas, when I'll drill next to the river, in this river, it's 90 feet deep. And yes, it could be an old well, but because water gets replenished, it has pretty good quality data. So I don't need to go into more detail on that, but do you see where are we trying to be too specific for the sampling density versus really the raw product are the wells and the plethora of ages and quality of these wells for the purpose of this program?
If I could interject momentarily, one of the things I want to say is that generally with our permits and our programs, we do not mandate the method of compliance. We just set the performance standards, such as a permit, you have to be a certain effluent limit, and however you do that is up to the individual. We don't typically tell people how to do their job. In fact, some people argue we're barred from doing that. So in our case with the ag program, they wanted to stay, the coalition approached us and wanted to develop a coalition, and there were the negotiations about the data as described by Ms. Schroeder. Meeting those requirements was up to the coalition. It wasn't, you know, and we all recognized at the time, we didn't know whether they were going to be successful. And, I mean, they thought, in all honesty, that they would be successful. So nobody at that point really had any control over the outcome. The outcome is just a fact of the facts on the ground. So
then what you're assuming back to is the method of compliance then really is the density. It has nothing to do with the quality of the data or
No, actually, there are other things. For example, they could have gone back. When they did all the sampling, they did a lot of sampling, and you know, one thing, a lot of good has come out of this program. I think we need to recognize that and recognize the good work that the coalition has done. We're talking about a very, very small aspect of this whole program, and that is these contour maps. When they did all the sampling and when their consultant did the analysis and came back with the contours that he's come back with, it was completely up to the coalition to decide, yes, we feel these are adequate, we're going to present to the board, or they could have come to us and said, we don't think they're adequate, we're going to, for example, try to sample more wells, get more data, drill new wells. They even have that option. But that's entirely up to the coalition. We don't get involved at that level. It's really the permit holder, for example, for a better lack of term, that has the responsibility to determine how they will comply with the conditions of our permits and waivers.
And if I could answer your question, Ms. Thomasberg, I think part of what you're talking about, and as an important point, I've been out to those sites on too and seen the various different types of wells, the really old ones, the bright shiny new ones, and there's a lot of variability in construction. That was actually a pretty large topic during the adoption of the agricultural order. Many of you might recall that we decided not to require growers to install new wells. We knew that there were limitations, but wanted to have a low-cost starting point to start gathering data for shallow groundwater and specifically domestic wells, not other purposes.
So another related question, if I may. So my understanding, and I've had to do a lot of catch-up recently in the last 2 weeks, my understanding is all of the data in GeoTracker for those domestics that are, for instance, in Monterey County, my understanding is Environmental Health monitors the 3 to 10 and then the 10 up. So would those 3 to 10 connections for domestic wells be available to the coalition and were they? So were those other data and smaller systems well data available for their mapping?
I will let the coalition speak to that themselves. However, we provided all the data available to us, all the data in GeoTracker, all the data from individual wells, all the data from the U.S. Geological Survey, all the data from the Gamma Dimensional Alpha Project. We directed them to Monroe County Water Resources Agency. I believe they had difficulty actually getting that data, but they did talk to San Benito County. They talked to a variety of different sources of data. And I believe they were pretty successful, maybe not completely successful, but we did have a lot of different data to use.
Okay. Then another related question is, if the geographic boundary is leaning toward well density, and if no one lives there in that geographic area, were they still obliged to get data for that area to be approved for the density component?
The work plan approval letter specified that they needed to have sufficient density for the areas that they were contouring. So if they're going to attempt to contour an area, there has to be sufficient data to do that.
I guess where I'm still confused, and I work with the U.S. Geological Survey to figure out what a lean density program, a lean program with sufficient density, what it would look like. I work with Justin Kulodowski on that, and you folks have also. And so that's where I'm a little, not confused, but why there wasn't really a sufficient number of wells in a grid that would have been stated at the very beginning, so they would know what their chances are of getting the maps approved for the confidence level that you're requiring.
I would say that that actually was a requirement in the work plan approval letter that they would not present it to us.
I didn't hear the last sentence.
Sampling, providing to us sampling density so that we could discuss and talk about it such that the contour maps could be approved. We did not have the information from the coalition regarding sampling density. So that was a requirement in the work plan approval letter that they, in advance of the contour maps, give us sampling density information so that we could talk about it and it could be approved to avoid the problem of insufficient data for contour maps.
And you said that was not that request.
We still did not have that information. It's generally covered in the most recent technical memorandum submitted by them.
Okay, those are my questions for now.
And just another clarification, I know we're getting into these and probably wanting to move on to the board questions. However, in the USGS, when Steve Kelm speaks to this example, typically when we lack data, when there's sparse data, what you'll see on the USGS maps are those white spots in the grid, right? They contour maps all around, and where they lack density, there are these white splotches, and that's how they handle no prediction or map data. However, what's important to remember about the USGS example is that the actual data is available to the public.
I want to let my colleagues ask some questions, but you mentioned being in the weeds. We'd like to see the forest from the trees. We keep talking about contour maps and all looking at what parkland's like. So I think it would help framing this a little bit better if you did put on the screen what we're talking about, contour map. And that would help us understand what Steve's issue about. Right now, it's kind of hard to put our hands around it. So that's just a suggestion to pictorially help us. And I will hold off my other questions and let my colleagues ask questions. Mr. Valdello.
Thank you, Chair. Angela,
Did you want me to put the contour map on the screen? Is that what your request was?
Yeah, we're talking about contour maps. and the challenge associated with the information. So I would like to see the control map.
I'm happy to see that. I can do that, but just to remind the board that what we're talking about is the process to review and approve. So I want to make sure this is actually what we're talking about. The board's decided, but I'm happy if it's on the map, but I can do that, but just to remind us that talking about the process to review.
But you spent a lot of time explaining the lack of density of information. So I think it's only fair to ask you show us, besides words, where the problem lies.
But the issue before the board is about the criteria to judge the contour maps, and are those appropriate? And Angela Mishra's response is about the absence of information to make that judgment. So I'm just trying to bring our focus back away from the contour maps and to the criteria we're using to judge. Is that appropriate?
I will, let my other colleagues speak before I ask my questions, but I thought that some issues were also for the public to be able to see information. I thought that was part of the conversation we had. So the public looks at the information and then makes a determination. So that's why I think it's really important to see what the public would be able to understand looking at those maps. So I don't want to take my colleagues' time. So anyone else? Mr. Delgado?
Yeah, just a couple of brief and simple questions. On the slide that you showed, Angela, that talked about the process to review and approve the contour maps, and you had a flow chart, when it was contour maps were acceptable, and if they were, certain things happened, if they weren't, other things happened. And in the no category, the contour maps are not acceptable, so the result is that the individual well water data will be displayed to the public on GeoTracker, and that therefore eliminates the need for public request access. My question is, if initially they're not acceptable, so that you go to that no box on the bottom right, but then months later, sometime in the future, they provide you with new contour maps that are acceptable, then do you reverse the process, and would you pull the individual well water data off GeoTracker and replace it with the Geo? So that's what I'm asking.
That's an interesting question. The word plan approval letter doesn't speak to that circumstance. Once the data is out in the public, I think we would be probably reluctant to remove data from the public view. My inclination at this point would be it would be a supplement. So those contour maps would be a supplement to the actual data.
Okay. And somewhere in the staff report, and I can't find it now, there was an estimate of the number of wells individually outside of the coalition, and then something like 469 wells that we're talking about here within the coalition. Can you tell me the approximate number of individual wells?
Sure. I think it's in the staff report. I can find it specifically, but I believe that the number of individual wells is approximately 2,500. Okay. Individual wells are not on GeoTracker.
So it's similar to the last time we met on the first half of this issue, which was to address the notification letters, and this board voted, I think, 7-0 to sort of give the coalition a break and give them a little more privacy, a little more security than the individual well owners have, so that if I'm an individual well owner and my well is in exceedance of some nitrate, let's say, then that information is available to the public for 2,500 potentially of the individual well owners. But if I'm one of the 469 coalition covered of well owners, I'd be a little bit more protected by my notification letter not being a public record. Is that approximately true of what we did last time?
That's correct. However, I believe that number for the coalition has grown a bit.
Okay.
and when they compute.
Yeah, I think I saw 469 in the staff report for this item, that's right, but I could be wrong on that. So, now bringing it back to today, I see in the, one of the documents in the, provided to us that Water Section Code 13269-82 says that all monitoring results shall be made available to the public. So how do we square up with that and be compliant with providing all monitoring results to the public with a contour map that requires them only through public records requests to get some additional data? I guess that's how we do it. Okay, so it's all available, we just have to go through extra steps for some data.
Sounds correct.
Okay. Yeah, it's just about how it's presented.
Okay.
That's it.
And this is a kind of an ignorant question, I just want to ask it anyway. You said that the Water Board sees all the data. And I guess that's what makes it publicly available through a records request app.
Just to clarify, any data, documents, or information that's submitted to the Water Board is a public record. So they submit the data to us, then we can see that data, and that makes it a public record.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, Mayor Dunbar raised an interesting question. It's obviously pretty germane of what happens if the executive officer does not approve the map, since that appears to be where it's going. But and it is kind of difficult to separate these two questions, but I think it's really appropriate to do so, and I might suggest that we focus on the process, and that once we have completed our review of the process and said that we either approve or don't approve of the executive officer's action in his letter, work plan letter, that we then circle around and see if we want to give any guidance to staff regarding where they're going on not approving the contour maps. And I think I'm going to hold any questions I have until I've heard from both. I expect we're going to hear from CRLA and the coalition. I would imagine they both ask for time. I think I'm going to hold my questions until after that.
Mr. Chairman, can I put one thing on the record just to clarify matter? I just wanted to clarify that the information that has been submitted to the regional board is made available to the public. And the one exception that we've talked about, I think, and I just wanted to clarify, is that one half mile blur, and so that is confidential, but in the concept of what you were talking about, Mr. Delgado, about the information being available to the public and their ability to get that information from the board, I think Ms. Schroeder gave the correct statement.
There are also a couple of other exemptions, just for purpose of clarity. One is that if information is requested, the folks who have given us the information can make their case to us that it is confidential business information. I believe.
Not the well data itself?
No, not the well data. Not the well data, but this applies to several other different things.
There are other things not related to the maps or the data in front of us today. I agree there are other issues that we've covered pertaining to other aspects of the order that deal with confidentiality. But I registered the sheriff to be directed in current comments from the data online.
Thank you, Montes.
My question has to do with the initial work plan and designing some of the performance standards and, of course, outcomes of whether the contour map is now acceptable or not. But you made a comment during your presentation that the scale was unknown at the specific time, meaning at the beginning when you were trying to figure out the performance standards and outcomes. And I'm understanding that when you refer to the scale being unknown, it was all these variables, so whether you would have access to the wells, the different ways in which the wells are constructed, and then of course also how would you sort of figure out the measures and the methodology with all of that variability? So my concern has to do with not recognizing the full scale of what the coalition and perhaps others in the future would have to work with in terms of reporting some of this data or the confidence intervals is finding to be not appropriately. I know that some of the process includes identifying data gaps and then of course areas of uncertainty, but then I'm wondering where on this process, if the process allows for going back and revising or revisiting the initial work plan now that we've been able to identify that there are data gaps and areas of uncertainty. So not just having a yes, no, but another nice one. There, like we're trying to figure out are these maps acceptable and when we have, you know, the two, the yes or the no, rather than in the middle, well, there's still areas that we've identified as areas of uncertainty and gaps in the data. And if there's a possibility then to go back to the original work plan and revise some of these performance outcomes. So let me ask you that, and then a couple of different ways. One is that of course, there is an opportunity the board can, and the executive officer can have a discussion about whether or not we want to go back to the work plan and revise some of those criteria. I do also want to point out the timing is somewhat of an issue. The data for individuals is already displayed to the public, so we don't want to delay too much in providing some amount of data to the public for the coalition. Well, we would display on GDHacker. But I would actually state that the opportunity is here, and we've talked about this with the coalition. So we sampled the wells, we conducted a lot of analyses, evaluated the results, conducted statistical analysis, determined confidence levels, identified gaps in areas of uncertainty. And then if there are gaps there that aren't thought that we have to do the contour map, to go back at that point and request library assistance to get access to wells to try and see if there's additional data set that can be collected. So that's where the vast expectation for the map would occur.
Yeah, if I could interject. In addition, and Angela can fill in the details, but this is not a an absolute yes or no decision that's made at one time. This is an iterative approach that the board and the coalition have been engaged in. There's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of communication, a lot of discussion about the issue. So it's not a all of a sudden we said no, or we're going to make this decision. Can speak to when we've received the first technical report, for example. It was last year sometime, I believe.
And I was going to further clarify, particularly for our two new board members, that your board has quite a legacy of not always settling for a yes or a no vote and use their out of the box ideas sometimes to make suggestions and amendments. So I think we need to make sure that our new board members know that, as Mr. Harris pointed out, it's not always a yes or a no. And I will, Mr. Young,
okay, I am interested in hearing what the coalition has to say about, you know, staff's conclusion that, you know, conditions 10 to 13 just can't be, are not being satisfied. I'd like to get the responses to that. Separate from that, if we look at the contour map that you put up, this is the one from December 10th. Well, there's two of them, and there's quite a difference between the two of them, which is dramatic. Have you taken, because you have access to the well data, have you taken the well data and cross-checked it against the December 10th contour map?
Yes, we have. I think it's maybe dimming the light, but I don't know that it's looking a little bit better. So this is the actual contour map
submitted by the coalition. On the left is the map submitted April 2014, and on the right is the map submitted in December of 2014. The data sets are similar between the two time periods. They collected about 190 something samples between April and December that they incorporated into the December analysis that we did previously. But we did do a comparison, and I'll blow up some of that comparison here. So you'll notice we got this is King City area, and so prior to King City you have lots of data, for example. And actually, the coalition will tell you that there is great agreement for their actual measurements and predicted measurements. So where they sampled and then where the contours are is a good match. So let's look, for example, if a sample says 52 kilograms of sodium nitrate, then that 52 milligram nitrate contour. Where the problem is where you don't have data. So this is an example here in this northeast corner above Kansas City. So this is an area where we can get some data. And so in this April 2014 map, interpretation is that it exceeds drinking water standards. In the December version, it does not exceed the drinking water standard. But there's no data there to test, you know, to be able to really validate that. And so the question is what is the reliable information to the public? And our issue is that it's possible that both one of these is correct or they're both correct or it's in the middle someplace probably. But multiple interpretations are available.
But there's no data anyway to support our interpretation.
That's
so what would be nothing could be released anyway to the public.
Well,
in other words, if I have a well in that area and I want to be informed about the potential for me drinking contaminated water, there is no data to be released that's going to help that user.
That's correct, and that's the point that we're trying to make in terms of releasing the actual data. What needs to be understood here is there's no data. There's no data available to inform this person, so we can't tell the public that it's above the drinking water standard or it's below the drinking water standard. There just simply isn't data in multiple interpretations of whether or not the data in the surrounding areas inform that.
Also, can the contour map be amended to reflect that, or if this is insufficient data?
Just to be clear for the board, Angela, the blue would indicate that it meets drinking water standards.
I'm generalizing, but yes.
Okay, and just to make sure everybody understands, but you can't make that interpretation because there's no data there.
Okay. But why would that, you know, require the release of data from other areas?
I mean,
what you're proposing is releasing all of the data to the public from the regulatory side.
So making it available on geo tracker, so it would be a graphical representation on a map of the available data point. Not an interpretive contour of the data point, including in areas where you have no data.
So there's
in the areas where there is no data, you would be not incorrectly biased by either a it's unsafe drinking water or it's safe drinking water, you would be given the information. There is no data in a graphical representation on GeoTracker.
Mr. Chairman. Sorry.
Did I clarify that?
No, I mean, it's not true.
I think we're talking about Mr. Young is treating different parts of the map differently. Is that what you're asking? So that, from a data management perspective, is very difficult. So right now, we are already treating all 2,500 individual growers in a subset of data. And then we're treating the coalition data in a subset. So to further differentiate within the coalition, is going to be difficult to just approve. And probably wouldn't be that conforming to the public.
So the question again before the board, and I sort of understand why you're asking these questions about the data. It's really about should the process that I approved be followed? That's what we're asking, whether or not you agree with the process. And what's happening is, I think we're looking at the data to try to say, well, before I make that decision, I want to look at the data before I tell you, say, yeah, I agree with the approval letter or not. So I understand why you're doing it, but we've got things a little bit reversed in terms of what we're discussing. It is true that if you, let's hypothetically, you say, okay, we agree that we should stick with the approval letter and the process for approving or disapproving the contract. So let's just assume you say that. In this case, the example is, we would disapprove them for the reasons we've just discussed.
And I do understand that. I mean, I don't really have an issue with, you know, it was the construct that we've created and it's been approved for you to do your evaluation.
And one thing that I'd like to suggest also to my fellow board members is that, you know, we're hearing staff and get their input, but we're going to, after this, after lunch, we'll have CRA, a 30-minute presentation, which may give us a different set of information, and then we will have CCGC giving us a 20-minute presentation. So I think it would help us to see the big picture from all parties. So that's a suggestion I have. That's why personally I want to hold off my questions. Yes, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, and I appreciate the reminder to bring forward to a wrap. I do have a process on it. So my understanding is that you could pass the process slide back up. Yes, sir. Yes, okay. So your point, Angela, if I can restate it to make sure I understand. Is that the one where don't jump on to the technical now. There, okay. So at the point where you've had two technical memos submitted, one in April and one in December, that coincided with the generation of contour map, but the technical memo also was to indicate certain kinds of information to you that could be evaluated at that point. And if I understand you correctly, that technical memo was to include the way in which they were satisfying the criteria for achieving confidence of 90% in the contour map that accompanied the technical memo. And what I heard you say was that level of detail was not provided.
I believe, I appreciate the question. So the technical memo was to include the methodology they used to substantially document the findings and to describe the method. That's correct. I believe what you're asking is sort of the evaluation, for example, sample density, whether or not that was sufficient. That was to occur, actually that discussion was to occur prior to the generation of the contour map, and then also include the tech memo, and to have that information either before the contour map or even after the contour map.
And so the question that I have is, in the approval letter or in the process itself that was engaged in, what options does staff have to alert CCGC that they haven't met that technical memo expectation that was outlined in the approval letter, that they were not providing sufficient information and detail sufficient for staff to let them know to alert them that there are going to be some gaps here, or let's discuss how the contour maps are going to address that red-blue issue relative to showing, as GeoTracker does. I think what's hard for us to grasp here is no data. When there is no data on a map, there is no dot, there is no number. That's what I understand. It is a contour map that was the interpretive version that CEGC attempted to put together to compile. Somehow they went from red to blue with literally more or less very similar data. And in fact, they presented where they were lacking sufficient density, there might have been an outcome of saying, listen, that's got to be a white spot, and it's got to be in the heat. It's just insufficient data. Not because it's their problem that there's insufficient data, but because in their membership, that's not an area that they can cover. Or, as Lucas Thomas said, that there isn't generally sufficient data because in the wells, in areas that are sparse, in wells, existing wells. So am I making sense? Because I'm trying to understand, is this something in the process that would have been addressed had that technical memo reached your expectation and criteria? And then what is the process for letting you know you still need to provide additional information before you can start contour?
I think there's two questions there. Let me ask. The first one is about the process and communication about the expectations relative to sufficient data. So I would say that we had numerous conversations about staff's concern about the sample density. And I would say that concern started really early on when we're talking about even developing contour maps. At some point, I think it's even fair to say that staff was reluctant because we knew that in some areas there might not be enough sample points. So even the very early on, and as I think conveyed in the work plan approval letter, that there may not be enough sample points, and that and then in our coordination meetings we talked about, you know, make sure we define our program areas for the contour maps in areas where we have sufficient data. As the sampling data came in, and we talked about that in our quarterly coordination meetings, one of the things that came up fairly frequently was the limitations of the data. As early as, I think it was our meeting in Salinas in August, I think July or August, actually it was June because it was right before hiatus, but we saw the initial contour maps, and it was at that point that we expressed some pretty significant concerns that there was missing data, and then we conveyed that to the coalition at that meeting, in phone calls, and in an email where we laid out specific options, what we're going to do about this, and the coalition came to the water board prior to the middle of December. So I think there were several opportunities where we attempted to discuss this issue. Now going to your question about sort of the white splotches on a map, we're trying to, I think the term is mask, the contour maps where there's no data. That is not unusual. Groups do that. However, I do not think that will be satisfactory to the coalition and let them see the stuff, because the limitations of the data are such that there are so many different areas where there is lacking data that you it starts looking like points, right? So if you desire anonymity and you start blanking out areas where it's white, you don't get don't achieve the same anonymity anymore.
Okay, so what that suggests is that we take a lunch break now. And after the lunch, we'll have CIA and then CCJC. We'll have also comments, speaker cards for this item, which as of now, I will close additional speaker cards for this specific item. I should have actually done this when I started it. And then there will be also the opportunity for public comment, which was in our agenda. So since we have to, most of you have to eat outside of this building, you know, I think providing 1 hour lunch is reasonable for everyone. And let's see.
Are we in closed session?
Not to my understanding is no. So it's let's reconvene at 1:30. All right, so could you turn the lights on, please? Thank you. So we will reconvene at 1:30.